Hi, and welcome to Culture Unraveled. In this particular podcast, I want to look into the series, The Indian Predator, which shows the life of Chandrakant as a serial killer. And it's shown that he has this demon in him that he can't get rid of. He gets into a relationship with people, and it starts off as a genuine relationship. But then something happens along the way that upsets him. He has a particular ideal of the world, and they do not fit into that ideal of the world. At least that's what the interpreters who have studied the case say in the series. And it's only after that that he decides to kill them. So it's not something that is premeditated. It's something that very inevitably comes along whenever he has a friendship with the migrant community, with anyone in the migrant community. He starts off by helping them, and then he finds some fault in them, and then he finishes them off. He kills them. So SL Vaya, who is the clinical forensic scientist in the series, she very intriguingly says that what Chandrakant is doing by calling the police, by writing letters, by leaving clues, is that he's actually calling out for help, that he's clearly out of control, and he knows that within him there is this thing that is out of control, and he does not know what to do about it. He would have tried many ways to suppress it, but he can't. And so it is a call for help. He wants the state to intervene. He wants to relegate his volition to the state and expects the law enforcement to come and control him, to subjugate him. If not, he will have to do his actions over and over again in order to get that satisfaction. Of course, in some way, her views can be rejected as some sort of a psychological imposition, and that one can state that he is purely just narcissistic, which is a lot of the Western narratives that come along, that serial killers do this, and they write letters and they showcase themselves purely out of a narcissistic tendency. But here, SL Vaya acknowledges that there is a narcissistic element to it, but she says there is something more to it. There is a cry for help. He does desire to be controlled. And in one sense, you can also see that in a larger human nature. One of the things that Karl Marx says in the cycle in political philosophy and the cycle of history is that authoritarian leaders first come, and then people revolt against authoritarian leaders. There's a fight and there's a push, and then there is freedom. And then what finally happens is there's too much freedom, there's misuse of freedom that's there, and that gets out of control. And then people revert back to authoritarian governments to come along and bring order. So there is something about that within the human psyche, within the larger collective psyche. And SL Vaya says, well, that is something of what is happening in Chandrakant. He requires a greater order to come along and restore sanity in his life. He's radically out of control. He knows that he's out of control, and so he requires a higher authority to come and control and put some structures in his life. Another important aspect that the series tackles is that of identity. Chandrakant, like millions of others in Delhi, is a migrant worker. And there are millions of migrant workers that come from Bihar, Jharkhand, UP, Orissa, and so on. And they suddenly land up in this massive city of Delhi, which is vibrant, which is really fast-paced, much bigger than anything that they have seen back home in their villages. And they feel completely lost. They're in a situation and they have no community to ground them. They have no family to ground them. And they are caught in this big web of profit-making. Whatever job they get into, whether it's construction working or it's loading and unloading, whatever work they get into, they are paid very less wages, and they are exploited by the owners, and they feel lost. They feel lost in this whole sea of the city. And so that creates a huge identity crisis that is within them. And in one sense, that is also touched upon in the series, though I wish in some sense they explored that a little more. It was a way of putting this crime in a larger social setting and larger society and trying to analyze this crime within the larger migrant community and what they go through. Because inevitably what happens with many of the men of the migrant community is that when they don't find their identity, when they don't find their place, when they don't find their community, then they resort to a lot of these antisocial behaviors, whether it's perpetually drinking, going to brothels, large-scale violence, you know, or any other means. They attach themselves to these antisocial activities because they have no sense of their own self. Their identity is so much in flux, and they have to grapple with everything that's happening there, that they immediately move into antisocial behavior. And so in one sense, identity, there is what Eselvaya also very poignantly points out, is that if Chandrakant is able to root and ground his identity, to know who he is, then that would be the beginning of his liberation. That would be the starting process where he's able to overcome this demon. Otherwise, you're just forcefully putting structures, but then the minute he goes on parole, the minute he goes outside, what's the only thing that he knows to do? What's the only thing that gives him comfort, or the only thing that he has always done? He will always revert back to that in order to find some sort of sanity. But it's the exact thing that drives him out of control. And so I always move back to Emil Durkheim when it comes to understanding crime, because what Durkheim states is that crime is never a stray event. It is only the extreme manifestation of an illness whose symptoms are found in society. So you look at society as one big organism, and so crime is the manifestation of an illness whose symptoms can be found. And in this example, those symptoms can be found within the migrant community. In any of these metropolitan cities, whether it's Bangalore or Kochi or Hyderabad or Delhi, in any of these, you see these large migrant communities and migrant individuals coming and not finding its place. Because ultimately cities, as Gandhi puts it, the city, the state, is a soulless monster. It seeks to devour, it seeks only to grow bigger and bigger. And so those who are caught in the web of it gets consumed. And in one sense, they feel the need to go out and devour and consume, because they are the most exploited in the grand scheme of things. The story of Chandrakant, which happened more than two decades back, is a testimony of what happens when we do not have the proper facilities to nurture the migrant community. And it's good to think of this incident in that light, to see what is it that we can provide the migrant community that can reduce such activities, that can ground them, give them a place, whether it's a home to stay, whether it's good food to eat, whether it's a good community to be around, whether it's fulfilling their religious needs, a community of a religious gathering, whatever it might be, to give them a place in society, to give them a community to around, and to show that they are taken care of. Because if not, then they always have to, the feeling of being devoured, the feeling of being taken advantage, the feeling of being exploited, which they very clearly are, will be manifested in darker ways and in these sort of ways.